maybe we can get through these protocols in one day, seeing that the document has been proven to be a forgery. And yet, when we read some of these protocols, we find out that these things are happening. And it's not happening, I don't think, because of a vast conspiracy. Make fun of me if you will. It's happening because it is simply in this people to do this. Good morning. This is Martin Zenner. Going to be moving through this today. I want to get through it so we can get back to the book and move on. So let me give you a little bit of introduction that I really didn't do before. The protocols of the Elders of Zion is an anti-Semitic fabricated text. You know, but I don't really see it as anti-Semitic. Maybe it was thought that if this is put forward, then there will be rancor, there will be irritation at the least, and there will be outright desire to stop the Jews from forming this plan. Although, you know, if it had been an organized attempt, I think it would be easier to stop. But since it's being done so subtly and possibly even so unwittingly by the subjects of this discussion themselves, then I think it becomes more difficult to stop. And it becomes just a matter of, well, look what's happening. Look who's in the movie business. Look who's in the business of the press. Look who's got a lot of money. So I think that way it's much easier to keep the thing going. My thoughts here. The forgery was first published in Russia in 1903. And this is the amazing thing, that it says in 1903. I'm amazed that A. E. Nock is writing his book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, in the 30s. And the things that are written here have come to such fruition in our day of 2016 so as to defy belief. And if it isn't a vast conspiracy, then it certainly is an act of God to put it in the hearts and minds of the Jews to do the very thing, They're said to control the press, and that's in 1903. Can you imagine? Let me go on here. Translated into multiple languages and disseminated internationally in the early part of the 20th century. According to the claims made by some of its publishers, the protocols are the minutes of a late 19th century meeting where Jewish leaders discussed their goal of global Jewish hegemony. I think we're talking about milk there. Homogenization, yeah. Hegemony, taking over other cities, by subverting the morals of Gentiles. Well, Gentiles don't need much help. As if this is an invention. And it's like these 9/11 conspiracies drive me crazy. And they're all insane. I'm sorry. Because as if the West being an enemy of the Islam religion has to be invented, as if it has to be invented. It doesn't. It's existed in those peoples. The Islamic religion has been a militant religion from its inception. Daniel speaks of it as a leopardess that's fast moving. And so the West doesn't need to invent a war with Islam. It is in the Quran, it is in their holy book, to wage war with infidels. And so it stands to reason that as they become more organized, more sophisticated, and have means of destruction at their disposal, that they would continue to conduct acts of terror. It's been going on for a long time. George Bush did not invent it, for the love of God. So I look at this in a similar way. I look at these protocols. You don't need to invent a document that makes Jewish people brilliant, clever, inventive, and business-minded, and looking for a market. Here's a market. The Gentiles lust for pleasure. Everybody wants to be distracted. As the world gets harder and harder, we want to be more distracted and more distracted. And here's an enterprising people who say, I know how to distract you. I'm going to invent a video game. I'm going to invent television. I'm going to control television. I'm going to put what I think you need to hear in the television, in the films, in the music. And so what comes first, the entertainment industry or money? It's like the chicken and the egg question. Well, I would say that the entertainment industry, but the need for entertainment comes first. The need for entertainment. There's a need. And any enterprising person, any person who studies the market will look at this and say, wow. So I don't think it was a let's do this thing to screw these people up. I think it's the inherent human need to be distracted, especially in the wake of a complex world. And so this is being capitalized upon. Call me naive, that's fine. I'll go down being naive. Not saying there aren't some very evil characters who have more evil plans in mind. There's no doubt that something that starts can be hijacked. Something that starts based on a marketplace need can be hijacked by evil entities. There's no doubt about it. It only takes one evil-minded person to capitalize. Hitler capitalized on the wreck of Germany, the financial wreck of Germany. Everybody wants money. Everybody wants bread. Everybody wants a car. Here's somebody that can give it to you. But then, I don't know, at what point did Hitler realize, I can take over the world? I don't know. Maybe that was it wasn't his goal as a baby, was it? I can take over the world. No, I don't think so. I don't like to think that. I don't think it's true. Oh, good old Henry Ford funded printing 500,000 copies of this that were distributed throughout the U.S. in the 20s. Adolf Hitler, speaking of Dolph, Adolf Hitler was a major proponent. Okay, well, I'm not a proponent, mind you. I'm not going to join forces with Ford and Hitler here to be a proponent of this. I'm just remarking on it. I'm commenting how interesting it is that the points, the protocols, are coming to pass, but not because the document is legitimate and not because there's a conspiracy. So I think that's interesting. That's all I'm commenting on. I think it's a good social study here. All right. I'd mentioned number three, methods of conquest. These are the 24 protocols that were apparently invented, but which someone sensed, I think, or saw beginning to happen with these people. Number four, I was shocked at yesterday, didn't get to it. The destruction of religion by materialism. Wow, the destruction of religion. Materialism, again, it's not an invention that humans like stuff. Humans like to own stuff. Humans feel comforted by stuff. Nobody had to invent that. It's not a vast conspiracy to give people stuff or to make stuff more important in their lives. It's to get money. I told you that advertising. Okay, but advertising does fan the flames, right? It's a spark, and if left alone, that spark will just spark. It will just be a nice little glow. It will be an ember, and you'll have watch a little bit of TV, have an amusement. Back in the old day, they played parlor games. They played games like 20 Questions. I don't know. They did fun things. They had sing-alongs by the fire. It was so nice back in the day. So people still wanted to be entertained. If you watch the Sound of Music, you will see that Captain Von Trapp puts on an amazing soiree, and there's an orchestra, and they play the waltz. Doo, 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 that's a waltz. And it's still an amusement. It's still entertainment. And the kids put on a puppet show. I love that puppet show. I love it. It's a marionette show. Right? So that's a harbinger of television, isn't it? Even Max Detweiler, the impresario, is impressed by the puppet show. And Maria's out there with them. I love it. That is genius. So it's already there. The germ is there to want to be entertained. And what do you think the theaters in Ephesus were about? Those great theaters. You think that was just so Paul could go there in Acts chapter Acts chapter 19 and confront the silversmiths? No, these theaters were invented so that people could watch performances. There were plays. Shakespeare, to be or not to be, that is the question. Yes, it is. The question was viewed by lots of people in the round. So it's always existed. just like the Islamic desire to kill infidels and take over the world. It's in them. It can be fanned. It can be maybe had a path open for it, but it's not invented. Number five, despotism and modern progress. Ooh, that sounds nasty. Six, the acquisition of land, the encouragement of speculation. Of course, these things are always in humanity. Some people can manage it more than others. Some people are smarter about it. I don't care about it. The acquisition of land, this earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The only reason I'm interested in land is that it produces trees that grow oranges. Because I eat four or five oranges in the morning for breakfast. I would sorely miss that. A prophecy of worldwide war. Like, that's something new. Number seven, a prophecy of worldwide war. There have been factions at war from the beginning, starting with Cain and Abel. Cain was at war with Abel. There was your first war. The all-embracing propaganda, number nine. What is that, the all-embracing propaganda? It's getting information out. Is that what propaganda is? These get more interesting as they go. Number 10, abolition of the Constitution, rise of the autocracy. Yeah. You got to get rid of a constitution if that constitution underlies one country in particular. Because they're looking for an autocracy. They're looking for a one world government. I guess that's kind of a nice way to say that. It's a fancy word, autocracy. I like to say it whenever I can. Protocol number 11. 12, I should say. The kingdom of the press. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, where do you get to 12? Number 11, though. I skipped that. The constitution of autocracy and universal rule. Universal rule. Yeah, I tell you this. You don't need tanks anymore for universal rule. Number 12, the kingdom of the press and control. That is the most amazing thing to me. We're halfway through here. The kingdom of the press and control. Because if you control the press, you control information and you can give your propaganda. So now we're getting a little more conspiratorial, aren't we? When it's not just a business operation. Yeah, I can make a lot of money selling newspapers because everybody wants to know what's going on in the world. Now, and I do believe this is happening, don't get me wrong, now you can control what people hear. And you can suppress certain things and push out other things. And there's no doubt that that is happening. 13, turning public thought from essentials to non-essentials. Ooh, from essentials to non-essentials. That is the stronghold. That is the pretty little pet of advertising. Turning public thought from essentials to non-essentials. That's basically what has been happening. I love that. That says it in a nutshell. That is so perfect because back in the day of the pioneers, when you're if you're in a wagon train, let's say, going from Missouri or Kansas, whatever, across the plains, from Illinois, wherever you start your epic journey settling America, and you take your wagon trains to California, there is no thought of anything except essentials. You need food, you need drink, you need to keep people healthy, you need shelter from the weather. Paul talks about essentials with sustenance and shelter, let us be sufficed in 1 Timothy chapter 6. But there is a turning, not just certain people, but the entire public, turning their thought from essentials to non-essentials. And advertising exists to sell you things that you don't need, because if it's an essential, you will find it. If it is an essential, it will be sought after, but you don't need an advertiser. You don't need a commercial, a 60-second ad with singing lizards or talking ducks. You don't need that to sell you, to make sure you get water, to make sure you get food, to make sure you have a roof over your house. You don't. So it's only non-essentials that need advertised to death. And the fancier the commercial is, the more you don't need it. The more clever it is, the more you don't need it. If you have Matthew McConaughey falling gracefully into a swimming pool, I guarantee you, you don't need the car that commercial is selling. So you watch these commercials and you wonder, what the hell are they selling? And you don't know until the very end. You see this crazy, you see an opera, and you see people at the opera, and all these people in fancy dress. And what the hell's happening here? And at the end, you see a jar of Jif peanut butter. What the opera has to do with the peanut butter is anybody's guess. It has nothing to do with it. That is proof that you don't need this damn peanut butter. It's a piece of crap. It's crap in a tub is what that peanut butter is. So the fancier the commercial, the more clever it is, the more you can't take your eyes away from it, the more you don't need it. The Super Bowl commercials. You don't need anything sold during the Super Bowl. Nothing. Zero. So it takes a really fantastic structure of something or other to turn the world from thinking about essentials to thinking about non-essentials. You know how many non-essentials are just in this room? Probably. I mean, except for this, my little fruit people. That's cute. But, you know, I never saw that advertised. Although I do have to say, the fruit people, the little cartoons, helped me to buy that particular brand of orange. But I'm not saying that's a good thing. So I am a sucker for advertising. Look how happy these people are. These oranges, the orange family, as I'm showing you on the laundry cam. So I'm sure I'm essential. I'm surrounded by non-essentials. And I would love, but it seems like you get in this trap, you can't get back. I would love to get back to a time of essentials, to be able to think again, to be able to be normal, to be able to take a deep breath, to be settled, to not be so anxious. But I too am caught in the trap. I too have been turned from essentials to non-essentials. What do we need? We need love. We need acceptance. We need meaningful work. We need a roof over our heads. We do need clementines. And we need water. And so, with these things, let us be sufficed. Other than that, let's keep studying to the end of the protocols of the Elders of Zion.